Ladies and gentlemen, what is going on? And welcome back to the Nothing Show. I'm your host, Clay, and today is going to be episode 52. This makes 1 year since we started this podcast. Man, 1 year, that is crazy. I want to thank you all so much for your support over the past 12 months. It's been great. I've had so much fun making this podcast. And a lot of these episodes have honestly been highlights of honestly my life. You know, the interview with Paul Palmer was a great experience. The interview with Jake Funk, Matthew Merrill, and just all of the guests I've had on and the opportunity to just talk with you guys and share my ideas and then have some of you join me on Instagram in the comments to you know, share your thoughts back. I really appreciate all the listeners and support over the last year. Thank you all so much. With that being said, today is going to be another fun episode. My buddy Jeff is going to be joining me. He beat me in fantasy this week, so you beat me, you get to join the podcast. And he's a Cowboys fan. So Cowboys fan, beat me in fantasy. We're going to be talking about a few fun things, just kind of how the week went, some fantasy football, you know, players who he thinks you should stay away from or you should sell, some that you should pick up, some that you should hold. And then just overall, kind of the outlook for some of these teams over the next few weeks and even the rest of the season. So I'm very excited for this episode. Shout out to Jeff for joining me. Thank you so much. And thank you all so much for listening. So without further ado, let's get right to this episode. Hey, Jeff, what's going on?
Thanks, Clay. Thanks for having me on, man. It's awesome being here.
Yeah, for sure, man. Happy to have you. So let me know your thoughts on week one. What did you notice? What are your takeaways? What do you think, man?
Yeah, so first of all, I'm so happy that football's back. It was a great week. And, you know, Sundays with football is, you know, another, it's really special. But just like as a general overview of things, I thought week one was really good. You know, a lot of action. And I kind of want to start the segment here with the first game of the season, the Cowboys-Bucks. And I thought that was probably the most interesting game of the week just because of how eventful it was and, you know, how close it was. And I want to ask you, Clay, how do you think that Cowboys defense is going to be going forward? Because, you know, even though they did give up, you know, a lot of scores. I mean, how do you feel about how they played? And they did force turnovers, but how do you think that defense is right now? And where do you think they're going?
Yeah, to me, they are better than last year. And while that's not saying much, I think it's important to acknowledge that, you know, they're moving forward and they're getting better. I think Micah Parsons is incredibly good. I think Trevon Diggs is becoming one of the better corners in the NFL. You know, he's really young. It takes a while to develop corners, but he's definitely getting there. I think the Cowboys have a few not underrated players, but they've got some, you know, solid starters that we kind of forget about. DeMarcus Lawrence being one of them. He's probably a top 12 edge rusher, and he's pretty solid. Other than that, you know, they've got Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, a few other guys. This is by no means a bad defense anymore. You know, a few underrated signings came in, and, you know, this is definitely a better defense than it was last year. And because of that, this is a better team than it was last year. The defense helps the offense helps the defense. And I'm happy with what I saw from the defense. Obviously they played a really, really strong team in the Bucks, but I don't think you can ask for much more. What they held them to 31 points. Yeah. That's not bad to the Bucks. You know, you never really want to get 31 points dropped on you, but to me, in that situation, it felt like it wasn't a bad showing from the defense.
Yeah, definitely. And I really like the direction that their new D coordinator, Dan Quinn's going in, because I feel like last season, I mean, obviously there was no training camp or, you know, preseason because of COVID, but, you know, the defense early on last year, I mean, near the end of the season, the defense got better, but near the beginning of the season last year, it was just such a disaster, you know, blown assignments. It wasn't necessarily really a talent thing. And I don't know if you were people remember, but when they played the Seahawks early on in the season, I think their flaws really showed through their coaching. And I really feel like this year their coaching is a lot better through Dan Quinn. I mean, obviously we've only seen one game, but just seeing how that defense played, and, you know, like you said, it's still not a great defense, but at the same time, that defense just needs to be average. And I think they have the guys on their defense that are, you know, developing, coming through, and even like some bona fide studs, like, you know, DeMarcus Lawrence, who's really one of the better pass rushers in the league. I mean, top 10, at least I would say, or at least talent wise. And while they do have some holes, right, especially on their interior D line, I think that, you know, as long as they can just hold it together, that offense is going to score a lot of points. And, you know, speaking of their offense, like, I think that offense is definitely top five in football. I mean, what do you think about that? Like, I feel like, especially since they get Zach Martin back next week, like, they're going to be dangerous moving forward. Definitely.
Yeah, the offense is easily top five. I think a lot of people forgot how good the Cowboys offense was because of Dak getting hurt. Like, yeah, there is a legitimate elite starter at literally every single position. Dak, Zeke, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Michael Gallup, and then the offensive line. I would say tight end is probably their weakest point. And when tight end is your weakest point on offense, it's a pretty good offense.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think a lot of people forgot about how good this offense was, mostly because, you know, Dak was hurt last year and that whole line was banged up. But yeah, like even the tight ends, like Dalton Schultz and Blake Jarwin, like Blake Jarwin was hurt most of last year, but like Dalton Schultz saw some targets this last Thursday and he looked fine. And I think in general, that offensive line looked really good against that tough Bucks front, especially without Zach Martin. And while they couldn't run the ball, like their pass protection was great, in my opinion. And, you know, Dak really looked like an MVP candidate straight off of his injury, which is really impressive, especially since he dealt with some of those shoulder injuries during preseason. But, you know, I saw a lot of encouraging things as a Cowboys fan from the week one matchup, even though they lost. And I think that, you know, they've got some good momentum going into next week against the Chargers. So we'll see where that takes them.
Yeah, it's hard to call a loss good, but I think this is a good loss. It's, you know, Super Bowl champion losing by 2 points. You could have won the game if you stopped them on the last drive. You know, close doesn't get it done, but I just like what we saw from the Cowboys. And I think they're headed in the right direction for sure. What do you think about their position in the NFC East? Do you think they're favorited? Are you a little bit scared of the Eagles or maybe Washington? Or do you feel like this is really your division to lose?
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, I do feel like the Cowboys are favored. And while, you know, the football team has a really good defense, I mean, possibly the best defense in the league, right? You know, I really feel like what separates the Cowboys from all the other teams in the division is their quarterback play. I really feel like, you know, Dak will be able to lead this team, especially down the stretch against those tough defenses, especially if that O-line stays healthy. Like, they'll be able to contend with, you know, the Redskins' tough D-line. But yeah, I think it's the Cowboys' division to lose personally. I mean, as good as the Redskins' defense is, I just feel like their quarterback position's weak. You know, I go to the Eagles here, and while they had a great week one, right, we still don't know how good they're going to be, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But I really like what I saw out of Jalen Hurts, and, you know, that O-line is back and healthy. Like, that could be a dangerous offense that puts up a lot of points that could contend with the team like the Cowboys. And the Giants, oh man, the Giants had a really rough week, and, you know, Saquon was back, and he didn't really get much work. Kenny Golladay I don't know. It's just such a weak offense. And while their defense is good, if they're not going to be able to score with a team like the Cowboys or the Eagles, like, they won't be able to contend in that division. So, you know, it's a weak division. And I think that if the Cowboys just score points and hold teams to, you know, 20, 25 points, they'll be able to win most weeks, especially in those critical division games. So,
yeah, I think everything there is spot on. The Cowboys are the only team in the division with a franchise quarterback. I think Jalen Hurts is making his case for being in that tier, but yeah, I want to see a few more weeks. I do think the Cowboys pretty much are the de facto first place in the division because of that. But I if I were you, I'd be a little bit worried about the Eagles because, you know, they're obviously they had the questions about offense, but I think a lot of people were saying that, you know, they've got the young talent on offense. The question is the defense, even though they've been pretty good historically. They weren't sure if they would be able to work together, the offense and the defense. But the Falcons were projected to win that game. And the Falcons, you know, the past few years have had a pretty strong offense. Obviously, they lost Julio Jones, but they've got Kyle Pitts and Calvin Ridley and Matt Ryan. So there weren't too many excuses. And the Eagles held them to 6 points. It was a really fantastic showing from the defense. And then when you have a strong defense like that, and then you add on top of that the offense, which has Jalen Hurts, Jalen Reagor, who, by the way, is actually pretty good. You wouldn't have known from last season because he didn't play too much. But, you know, it seems to me like that was actually a pretty good pick. Obviously, Jefferson would have been better. But I don't think that that was a bust pick, like a lot of people were saying. And then you've also got, you know, Devontae Smith, rookie receiver, had a touchdown. And then Miles Sanders. So what I'm saying is that this defense is really strong. And then you add these explosive weapons with tons of potential on offense. And it's just, to me, it's a very like hit or miss team. Like, they'll have huge weeks, but then I think they'll also lose some games where you're going to say like, wow, is this team actually good? And yeah, because of that, you know, they could beat the Cowboys on any given day. And
yeah,
that to me is something that I can't say about Washington because they don't have the quarterback, and something that I can't say about the Giants for the same reason.
Yeah, definitely. Like, that's the thing. Like, even if the Eagles aren't necessarily, you know, competing for the NFC East lead, they're still going to give the Cowboys, you know, the two games that they play in rough weeks because, you know, they'll be able to keep up offensively. And, you know, I really liked how the Eagles used their running back by committee this last week. Like Miles Sanders looked surprisingly good. And I think it's a lot of credit to that O-line. You know, they're back and healthy, and people forget about how good that O-line was when they were healthy. And now that they're all back, you know, that run game is going to be a factor. You know, Kenneth Gainwell out of the backfield, right? One of those, you know, secondary options, but he looked good too. And they got a couple other good running backs. And, you know, that's going to be a really explosive offense, especially if Jalen Hurts and Devontae Smith can get a good connection going. So, yeah, I think you're right. The Eagles are going to be tough this year. I think the football team will definitely be the toughest competition. And it's going to be interesting to see how the Cowboys play against the football team. And they play later in the season, so it'll probably be for a lot. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, the NFC East has a lot of divisional games at the very end of the season, but let's kind of focus on the next 3 weeks for the Cowboys. So the first quarter of the year, I just want to quickly get your thoughts on how you see this playing out. You know, they play the Chargers in LA this coming weekend. Then they play the Eagles in Dallas and then the Panthers in Dallas. What do you see their record being after that stretch?
Yeah. So, man, that's a tough question because I think, you know, the Cowboys, they're very, I don't want to say inconsistent, but definitely a team that has you on edge 24/7. I could see them being 3-1. Honestly, I could, especially after how they played week one. But looking at it from a more realistic stance, maybe 2-2, because, you know, we don't know how this defense is going to play over the next couple of games and who knows what will happen. But I think one of the more concerning things going into like the next three games is that Lyle Collins will be out. He got a little bit banged up. He got suspended. That's right. He got suspended. So he'll be out next couple of games, which is a concern. Michael Gallup had an issue. He's hurt. So we'll see how some of these depth guys step in. I think the back of the linemen have a lot of good experience from, you know, playing a lot last year. But, you know, I think that after how they play week one, they can definitely compete against, you know, the Chargers, who they play next week, right? I mean, their offense played fine against the football team, but I think the Cowboys can outscore them realistically. Yeah. And, you know, the Eagles, like who do they play after the Chargers? The Eagles?
Yeah. Chargers, Eagles, Panthers.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the Panthers. Yeah. I mean, the Eagles, that'll be a tough game. I mean, divisional games are always tough, but, you know, they're the better team. So I could definitely see them winning that. And the Panthers, I mean, if they can stop their run game and just CMC in general, then I think that's definitely also a winnable game. So, you know, I could see them going, you know, 3-1, 2-2, or being 3-1 and 2-2 after the stretch, but it really just depends on the health of this team and just the defense in general, right? If they're able to get some stops, then, you know, there's some hope, really. So,
yeah, I see this team probably being 2-2. The 3-1 potential certainly is there. To me, the Eagles and Chargers, I think they split that. I think they go 1-1 over that stretch. And then I think they beat the Panthers pretty handily. Quite frankly, I don't think the Panthers are good at all. I think that they're a little overrated. I didn't think they had a good showing against the Jets. I think they're missing pieces. I don't think Sam Darnold is that good. I don't love Matt Rule. So, you know, I think you guys could go 3-1, but personally, you're looking at 2-2 for me.
Yeah, definitely. And I could definitely see them dropping one of these games, especially against the Eagles. I mean, you know, I don't know how they're going to be able to respond this early in the season against a tough division opponent, especially if Jalen Hurts stays on a roll. So we'll really see about how that goes down.
Okay, Jeff. So today I posted my power rankings on my Instagram. I sent it over to you. I want you to take a look at that and kind of let me know where you agree, where you disagree, what you change, and just your overall thoughts on it.
Yeah, so I liked your power rankings from week one. I really did. I like the respect you gave the Rams starting off at number four. I thought that was a great ranking for them, especially how their offense clicked in week one, especially with their awesome defense. And I also like the respect you gave to the Cardinals because they also looked like an awesome team all around. And I expected them to beat the Titans week one. They did, and they also look great in the process. Kyler Murray is looking like an MVP candidate, so that's going to be a really good team this year. I think a playoff team to that point. I like how you drop the Packers down a little bit just because, you know, that just their team just looked like an absolute disaster. Rodgers, I don't know what he was doing. Their run game was non-existent and they just got blown out in general. Their defense looked bad. But yeah, I mean, I like the respect you also gave the Raiders. I mean, even though I don't think that they're a top 16 team necessarily, they had a great week one against a tough team like the Ravens. So I like the respect you gave them. But yeah, I like them in general. The football team at 24 is a bit low, but, you know, I mean, their quarterback situation does concern me. But in general, I like your rankings, and I really like it, yeah. And if you want to go more in depth with them, then I can definitely do that as well.
Yeah. Thanks for your thoughts. To get to the Washington football team first, I did move them a little low at 24. To me, them being a top maybe 14 or 15 team at the beginning of the season was like a speculative thing. Like, we were assuming that they fixed their quarterback situation. And my biggest takeaway from them in week one is that they did not do nearly enough. Fitzpatrick was really bad, and Heinicke is, you know, has some potential and is pretty exciting for this team, but it's no better than last year. And last year, the reason the Washington football team, you know, didn't have a winning record, and even with their elite defense, was because of their quarterback play. They added Curtis Samuel, who's injured. They added a few defensive pieces like William Jackson and Jamin Davis. But to me, this team really can't be that high until they fix the quarterback situation. So that's why they're so low. Yeah. I do think that, you know, they could be around the 17, 18, 19, 20 mark, but I'm a bit lower than them on most just because of that quarterback thing. And then with the Raiders, yeah, they could be a little bit higher, but it, or sorry, a little bit lower. But to me, it just feels like you can't really, I don't think they're a top 16 team either, but you've got to stay consistent. When a team beats a good team, you got to move them up rightfully. Yeah, I don't really think that they're better than a lot of the teams that they're above, but with the way things stand right now, I just felt obligated to move them up a little higher. And then just to touch on the Rams, yeah, the Rams at four was, you know, is giving them the credit they deserve. I think there's an argument to be made to put them at three. The Browns, to me, had such a great showing against the Chiefs, and I think that that game was just like incredible. You can swap those two if you want, but to me, those are easily the top four teams.
Yeah, I was also taken by surprise by the Saints at number five. I mean, obviously, like you said, you know, you definitely reward teams for having a good week one. But, you know, the Saints, they came out, blew out the Packers, right? Had a great week. But the Saints at week one, or the Saints at number five, kind of feels a little bit high to me just because of the uncertainty there, especially with Jameis Winston. I mean, I don't know how well they're going to do in that division. So, I mean, what's your reasoning behind them being at number five, and aside from them having a good week one?
Yeah, so the Saints always had a pretty good roster, you know, actually a very great roster. And to me, the question was never, did they have the players or did they have the coaching? To me, the question was, did they have the quarterback play? They didn't have it last year. They had Drew Brees, who was experienced enough to get them wins, but they didn't have a quarterback that would take them to the next level. Jameis, to me, looked like that guy week one. And if he played like this every week, maybe not as well, because that was an irregularity against a Packers team that heavily disappointed. But if Jameis Winston can put up plays like that, this is a top five team. I don't think he will, just because the season's so long and it felt like a one-time thing against the Packers. But I just had to move them up there because what I saw was a team that has one of the best rosters in football with a quarterback that threw five touchdowns. I couldn't put them below the Seahawks, because the Seahawks to me felt like a worse version of the Saints. And I couldn't put them below the Cardinals, because to me, the Cardinals felt like, I think that the Cardinals and Saints are pretty even now that I actually think about it, because the Cardinals have a great quarterback and great receivers and maybe not such a good defense compared to the Saints. So I think the Saints and Cardinals are actually on the same level. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I mean, I think like as in general, like as a holistically, I think they're very similar. I really like what I saw the Cardinals defense this last week. Chandler Jones obviously played out of his mind. And I think in general, like the Cardinals defense has so many studs on it. Like they're definitely comparable defensively. I just think that I would honestly put the Cardinals higher just in, like, obviously just, you know, respecting how well the Saints played week one. I understand why they would be higher, but I think in general, and I think a lot of people can agree with me on this, the Cardinals are a better team just because, you know, they have so many studs on defense. And if they keep playing like as well on defense, combined with that high powered offense, which is going to be really good this year, they're going to be, I mean, in my opinion, they're going to be contending with the Rams for the NFC West. I mean, that looked like a really dangerous and explosive offense. And that defense as well played awesome against a good Titans offense. I mean, obviously their O-line didn't play as well, but I think that if they can keep it up defensively, they're going to be a tough team to beat, man, especially against some of those higher ranked teams. So Yeah, I think that they're similar, but I would definitely give the edge to the Cardinals personally.
Yeah, I think that's valid. I could see the Cardinals at five. In the NFC West, you've got the Cardinals, 49ers, Seahawks, and Rams. All of those teams won, some more handily than others. How do you see this division playing out? Who's your favorite to win? And which teams do you think will make the playoffs?
Yeah,
in that division?
Yeah, that's a great question. So first off, this is easily the best division in football, in my eyes. And I think a lot of people can agree with me on that. Top to bottom, four, I think, very good teams in this division, especially with the 49ers being healthy again. But I think the best team in this division is the Rams. I just went on a rant about how good the Cardinals were, but I think that the Rams, I mean, that defense, I think they're easily still top three. I mean, they're probably the best defense last year, and I think they're top three still. And, you know, that offense, I mean, with all those new upgrades, you know, Matthew Stafford, that O-line still together, and I think the emergence of Tyler Higbee will also help Stafford out. And I just think, in general, that offense is going to be really good, especially with that defense. So I think that the Rams will probably win the division. I think the Cardinals will give them trouble, and I think they could still win the division, but I would still have to give the edge to the Rams. But, you know, the Cardinals offense looks great. Like I just said, their defense has some good guys on it, so they're going to be tough. The Seahawks, I think they'll come in third. I think Russell Wilson will keep them in it, but, you know, that defense, right? We don't know how that defense is going to play, especially in this division where you have offenses like the Rams, the Cardinals, and the 49ers, which could be good at times. But I think the Seahawks issues are their main issue is their O-line. I mean, that O-line is really shaky. And I think when you go up in a division where you're playing the 49ers twice a year with, like, you know, Nick Bosa and all the studs they have, and the Rams, they're in Donald and their pass rush, it's going to be really tough. So I think the Seahawks will probably come in third there. And I think the last place team will probably be the 49ers. And that's not because I think they're a bad team. I think they're a good team overall, but the problem is that, you know, the glaring weakness there is quarterback. And I Jimmy Garoppolo played fine in week one. I mean, he played pretty well, but, like, there's no, you know, signs pointing towards his consistency down the line. And that offense in general too, like George Kittle, he's back, but, you know, will he stay healthy? You know, will that defense stay healthy? There's just a lot of question marks. And I just think in general, they're probably the worst team in the division. So they have a lot to prove. And I would not be surprised if they were, you know, the division winner. I mean, all four of those teams could win the division. But, you know, I just think that the Rams, the Cardinals will be at the top. And then I think the Seahawks will be, and the Seahawks and the 49ers will be competing as well. So it's going to be a really good division. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that plays out.
Yeah, spot on. To me, the 49ers, it feels like they're a little bit lacking just overall. They've got Nick Bosa. They've got Deebo Samuel. Unfortunately, Raheem Mostert's injured. They have Trent Williams, but they have Fred Warner. But it's just, you know, it's just they don't have the firepower of the Rams. They don't have the firepower of the Seahawks. And they don't have the playmaking ability of the Cardinals. And the 49ers are a pretty well-rounded team, but they don't really have any huge X factor that's going to win them games except for their D-line. But don't forget, the last time their D-line was really good was when they had DeForest Buckner, who they no longer have. So I agree. I feel like the 49ers are that one team that's going to be at the bottom. But I could also see it being the Seahawks. That's the case as of right now, though. You know, obviously, I think this is going to change so much. We're going to look back on this and be like, you know, we'll either be like, wow, we were spot on, or wow, this division was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I just think the Rams are, like, the clear-cut team in this division. I mean, you got to give respect to Russell Wilson, right? I mean, he's the best quarterback in this division and probably a top five quarterback right now in the league, or at least according to my opinion. But, yeah, I think the Seahawks, they're going to give some issues to teams, especially early on. You know, Tyler Lockett had a great week last week, and we all know how good DK is. But, yeah, I think the Seahawks would definitely get the Rams trouble at the top as well.
Yeah, to me, that's true. But to me, the Rams were, like you said, the clear-cut number one just because they were everything we expected them to be and more. And it was against a solid Bears defense. So I really like the Rams.
Yeah, definitely. I have a question for you. What do you think about the NFC South? Because we know that the Bucs, right, they're probably going to win their division. I think they'll be the clear number one seed. And I was just curious, do you think any of the other teams in that division have a chance to be a wildcard team? I mean, we're looking at the Saints. the Panthers, and the last team is the
Falcons.
Falcons, that's right. So out of those three teams, do you think any of those teams could be wildcard teams? Because I know a lot of people are high on the Panthers. You know, CMC's back, right? They got a new quarterback. The Falcons look rough. I would assume that you wouldn't have them in the wildcard race. So what do you think about that division? And it's interesting because there's really a clear-cut number one team there. So do you think any of those other teams could emerge as a wildcard team?
Yeah, to me, the NFC South was kind of the division of sleepers. Everyone thought, oh, the Saints are going to be really good with Jameis. Don't sleep on him. MVP season. Or, oh, the Panthers are going to be really good. Sam Darnold is out of his bad situation, and now Christian McCaffrey's coming back. Or, ooh, don't sleep. You know, the Falcons are pretty good, too. They've got a strong offense and a nice new head coach who's going to utilize everyone the right way. Offensive coordinator coming out of Tennessee, So, to me, the Saints are a wild card team as it stands right now, and I don't really think either of the other two teams are. I know a lot of people are really high on the Panthers as kind of like a sleeper pick because they've got so many players that individually play well, but as a unit, this team to me isn't a playoff team, and I think I can pick many NFC teams that are better than them. The Rams and Buccaneers are one, and the Buccaneers are in the same division as them. Then you've got the Saints, Seahawks, Cardinals, Niners, the whole NFC East, or sorry, NFC West. Yep, the Packers. And then, you know, then you start getting into the Panthers territory, which is the Cowboys and the Eagles and the Vikings. But don't forget, the NFC East is going to send someone to the playoffs, even if the Panthers are better than them. So really, you only need to have six teams better than the Panthers for the Panthers to miss the playoffs. So I don't think that this division is as good as I thought it would be 7 days ago. I could see that changing. I could actually see the Panthers being pretty good. But as of the way things are right now, to me, they're not there.
Yeah, definitely. I agree with you. I think that, honestly, right now the Bucs are really the only playoff team, but it's just interesting to speculate on how good some of those other teams could be, especially regarding to the playoffs. The last thing that I have for the power rankings, I don't know how long you want to spend on this, but the number three team that you have here, you touched on them earlier, the Browns, right? They had a great week one against the Chiefs. That's a really interesting division in my eyes because, you know, you've got the Browns, great team, a lot of offseason additions, especially to that defense. So they're going to be good this year, especially after a good season last year. You got the Steelers, right, who had a great week one win against the Bills. And I kind of saw that coming personally. And then you got the Ravens, right, a couple preseason injuries kind of derailed them. But I think that obviously they're still going to be a legitimate team. And then you have the Bengals, which also won. With Joe Burrow back, and you know, that team just looked good in general. That offense looked great. Mixon looked great. I had him in fantasy. So, well, what do you think about that division, and who do you think is going to end up on top, and how do you think the rest is going to shake out?
Yeah, that's right. Unfortunately, you did have Joe Mixon in fantasy. this division to me is really good, and I didn't think they would be. I thought the Steelers would be 9-8, and I thought the Bengals would be maybe 6-11. Maybe 7-10. I was actually a little higher on the Bengals than most because I think that they're so exciting. You know, you've got Joe Burrow, all these weapons. The issue is the offensive line, but this division to me is Steelers and Browns and Ravens just battling out nice, fun AFC North football.
Yeah,
that's not going to be the case. Yeah, that's not going to be the case in a few weeks when it starts to get cold. You know, Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt, Tyson Williams, all these guys are going to be pounding the ball. Najee Harris are going to be pounding the ball, you know, typical AFC North football. But right now, the Browns are my favorite team to watch just because of how exciting they are. So many new players, so much new talent. They've got, you know, guys with big personalities, star players, Myles Garrett, Nick Chubb, Baker Mayfield. They're just the most fun team to watch. And maybe I'm a little bit biased because of that, but I think that they're a lot better than the next team. You can say that the next team's the Steelers or the Ravens. I could see either way, but I'm glad that the Steelers are better than most people thought they would be, at least from what we can see so far. Because when the Steelers are good, I feel like that's just good for the NFL, right? The Steelers are supposed to be good at football, and they have a good defense and Ben Roethlisberger, so you can never count them out. right? And then the Ravens had a pretty bad showing last night against the Raiders, but once again, can't count them out. It's really early in the season. I think they'll figure out that running back situation, who, you know, Tyson Williams actually did a pretty good job. And then the Bengals are going to give teams, you know, a run for their money. The Bengals are not a team to laugh at. They beat the Vikings, who I thought were a playoff team. That was not commonly thought. They weren't commonly accepted to be a playoff team, but I was a little higher on the Vikings by most, and they got beat by the Bengals. So the Bengals are a middle of the pack team to me. They're not, you know, lower third like I thought they were. So this division is really, really good. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I really agree with you on the fact that the Browns are the clear-cut number one team. That run game, I mean, that offensive line in general, like, that's how you win games. That's how you win championships. I mean, that O-line is awesome. That offense going through Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt is going to be really good this year. I think Baker Mayfield's going to do well. And I think, you know, a lot of people disagree with me on this, and I haven't really verbalized this, but I truly believe that Odell Beckham, once he's, I mean, I don't know if he has any health issues right now. He wasn't really a factor in week one, if he even played, but I think that he could be the X factor in that offense. And, you know, I understand that it's a run first offense, right? Pound the ground. That's how they win these games. But I truly believe that Odell Beckham has some left in the tank. And I feel like him and Jarvis Landry could be very good playmakers this year, especially Odell Beckham. He's kind of like my sleeper candidate this year. So, and you know, the defense looks good. So I think the Browns are definitely the clear-cut number one team. The Steelers, right? That's another interesting team. I'm not certain on whether or not the Steelers or the Ravens will finish with that second spot in the NFC or in the AFC North. It could go either way, in my opinion. But I think the Steelers' fate is a lot in Roethlisberger, because we saw that defense play great against that awesome Bills offense. I mean, they held them, right? That was a great showing. We know how good that defense is. But I think a lot of it comes down to that offense, because, you know, Ben Roethlisberger, there's a lot of question marks with him, right? He's such an old guy, right? Will he be able to lead that offense? And he didn't really necessarily look great in the week one matchup. And that O-line is also not as good, right? They lost. They're just not as good. So I think that if they're receiving – core can play well, right? Chase Claypool, Juju, and Deontay Johnson, that'll help them out a lot. But, you know, I think for them, it's all about establishing the run, because with that defense and with that potential running game, they'll be able to win some games, dominate the clock, because as good as their receiving core is, in my opinion, I don't think Big Ben will be able to get the ball to those guys, right? Especially when it counts. So, you know, they're an interesting team. I think the Ravens, First off, the injury to Marcus Peters, that's absolutely huge in my eyes. I think that that'll hurt the defense. They obviously have so many other good players on defense, right? I mean, just another cornerback on their team alone. Marlon Humphrey will do really well. I think he'll have a great year, as expected. And, you know, like you touched on, their running back core took a hit, right? Their whole running back core is injured, including their starter, J.K. Dobbins. But and they're a power run offense, so I think they'll be fine, just because, you know, running is their identity. They're going to keep running the ball. You know, they have Lamar Jackson, who's going to be great on the ground as always. So it'll be interesting to see how that defense plays, and, you know, if they'll be able to overcome some of these early season injuries. But, you know, the Ravens are always in the mix. And I think the Bengals, you know, like you said, they were really a bottom third team for me on my rankings going into the season. But, you know, they definitely surprised me in week one against a good Vikings team. I mean, I think that they're the fourth place team in that division, just because of how good that division is. I mean, I think they're the second best division in football, the AFC North is. But, you know, as good as the Bengals played in week one, I'm still not sold that they'll be able to beat, you know, the Steelers, the Ravens, and Browns, you know, when it matters. I mean, honestly, I just think that they're not as good all around. That defense isn't as good as the Steelers, the Ravens, and the Browns. And the Browns really established themselves as a good defense over the offseason. So that's really what the Bengals are missing. And obviously we know about their O-line concerns, but, you know, it's going to be tough for them going down the stretch here. And I think that they're definitely the last place team in this division. But, you know, just circling back to who I think will win the division, I think it'll definitely be the Browns. They're the best overall. And I think that their identity, which is running the ball, is you know, going to be a focal point for them, obviously, and they're going to do a really good job at it. So they're going to be a really tough team to beat this season.
Yeah, I think the AFC North is the second best division in football behind the NFC West. And then in third place, I would probably actually have the AFC West because, you know, you've got the Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders. To me, that's a pretty solid division. But like you said, there's a lot of football yet to be played and things can change a lot. But I think that the difference between the Browns, Steelers, and Ravens in comparison to the Bengals is that those first three teams have an identity. The Browns have an amazing offensive line, will kill you in the running game, and then will have explosive plays through the air. The Steelers have an incredible defense, great defensive line, and then they've got this great receiving core that can do all types of tricks. And then the Ravens, of course, have Lamar Jackson, who you can never truly stop. You can only try to, you know, lessen his impact on the game. Versus the Bengals, they're still kind of figuring it out. And we'll see if Zach Taylor can really be the one to figure that out, or if they'll have to make a coaching change after the season. Because if you know, I think this is really going to be the season where they decide whether or not they're going to stick with him. But to me, the Bengals are at least going in the right direction, and that's good to see. I'm happy to see that because I want the best for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's a really good point. you know, the Bengals, you know, we're really unsure on what they'll be able to do. I mean, they had a good week one, but you know, will that O-line be able to keep Joe Burrow healthy? Will that offense be able to stay consistent? Because we haven't seen consistency in the past, because obviously Joe Burrow is new to this offense, really. And yeah, I mean, there's like, that's the one question. Will the Bengals be able to keep themselves in the mix? Which I don't think they'll be able to. And you would definitely agree with me on that. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how they fare in the division. I'll be watching them really closely this year.
And last thing, Jeff, I just want to talk a little bit about fantasy. Obviously, you beat me this week. It was a good week for you. Not so good for me, but nonetheless, it was fun to play against you. Just any thoughts you have about sleeper picks, or, you know, who you like on your team? Really anything. Just hit me with anything fantasy related.
Yeah. So fantasy football, very passionate about it, and I have a lot of opinions, but is there right if I talk about a couple different categories here, whether it's, you know, the guys that I think had good weeks that I'm happy about and optimistic about versus, you know, the guys that I'm a little bit afraid about? And is there right if I dive into stuff like that?
Yeah, for sure, man. Go for it.
All right, awesome. So I want to start out with the negatives here. So personally, I don't own some of these players, but I just want to talk about the guys that I think are not on track. And I think that some of these guys are guys that you want to sell low on, right? We always talk about wanting to sell high, right? On guys that are doing well, right? You can get the most value out of them. But I think some of these guys are guys that you just want to get rid of, get off your team, because obviously it's week one. We don't want to overreact, but I don't see much potential for them moving forward. So my first guy on who to sell low on is Saquon Barkley. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, I was really down on this guy going into the, you know, fantasy football drafts this year. And my opinion has stayed the same. I really don't think that Saquon will put up round one running back fantasy points this year. And the reason why I say that is, you know, it's not an issue with his talent or necessarily really his volume either. I mean, I think he's going to be, I mean, obviously he's going to be a big part of that offense, but after seeing how they played against the Broncos in week one, you know, even if Saquon is healthy and even if he is playing well, I just don't see him putting up the fantasy points that you need on a weekly basis consistently, because, you know, he's coming off a torn ACL. That's going to give him issues. That O-line is really rough and, you know, it's going to be tough for him running the ball. So, you know, I feel like they're going to be behind in a lot of games and they're going to be passing the ball a lot. And while that may benefit Saquon in the receiving game, I just don't think that there's enough trust there. And I don't think his floor is as high as you want it to be. So I think that you should definitely sell low on him. Even though you'll definitely get good value from him in a lot of leagues. Another guy, and I don't necessarily think that you should sell low on this guy. I think that you should probably stash him on your bench just because you probably won't be able to get enough value for him. But I think Brandon Ayuk, he's a very hot topic this last week. I have him in fantasy personally, and I started him as my flex receiver and he got me 0 points and I was really disappointed. But my personal opinion on Brandon Ayuk, and I know a lot of people have the same questions, like, you know, what's going on with him? I think it's just, you know, his lingering hamstring issue. I think that's affecting him a lot. You saw Deebo Samuel went off this last week. And I think there's definitely opportunity for Ayuk going forward. It's just, you know, whether or not he'll be able to recover from this injury, because he's had injuries in the past. And I think, you know, he's a second year guy. We don't really know how he's going to be able to deal with these injuries and sustain health. But I think he's one of those guys where if, you know, you stash him on your bench for a couple of weeks, right, you play some other high floor receivers, like, you know, for example, like Corey Davis, who had a great week one, a guy like that. Like, I think that's the move, honestly. Like, Brandon Ayuk is a really talented receiver, and typically you see a really good jump from first to second year receivers in fantasy football. And I think Ayuk is probably going to be one of those guys. And honestly, just speaking on the 49ers team in fantasy and in general, you know, that running back position is another hot topic that's going on right now. Mostert's out for the season. That's huge news. He's getting surgery. So the other two guys in that backfield are Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon. And personally, I have Trey Sermon on my team. He's on my bench. And obviously, I'm never happy about an injury happening in in football in general, right, with Raheem Mostert. But I think a lot of us saw that coming. I mean, he has a lot of health injury or health concerns and a lot of injuries. So a lot of people are wondering, like, you know, what do I do with Trey Sermon moving forward? Because his role is probably expected to grow, right? A lot of people are expecting him to be the RB1. But I have a lot of concerns as a Trey Sermon fantasy owner, just because of the emergence of Elijah Mitchell, right? I don't want to say that backfield is going to be a committee, but what I'm going to say is that if you have Trey Sermon on your team, which is a lot of fantasy owners, you should definitely try to pick up Elijah Mitchell, because he is, you know, the perfect handcuff to Trey Sermon. I mean, maybe Trey Sermon is the handcuff to Elijah Mitchell, but I think that's another interesting thing. Definitely go and pick up Elijah Mitchell. He's going to be good for your fantasy teams. I think, you know, this next guy who I'm going to talk about, I have him in one of my leagues, not one of the leagues that I necessarily care about as much, but Aaron Jones is a guy that you want to sell low on. And just like Saquon Barkley, you're not going to get, you know, little to no value for him. You're going to get a lot of value for him because he's, you know, he was a first round running back. But after this week one, right, after this last week, you should sell low on him based off his performance. And the reason why I say that is because even though Aaron Jones has been consistent throughout the last 2 years, right, we all know that. We all acknowledge that. I was really high on him, and I still am honestly pretty high on him. It's just that, you know, I really feel like that Packers defense is going to struggle this season. And as good as it is with guys like Jair Alexander, it was really discouraging to see how they played in week one against the Saints. And personally, you know, with some O-line losses over the offseason, right, I just think that, you know, combined that with the emergence of A.J. Dillon, I just think that Aaron Jones won't have as good of a season. And I really feel like you can pick up a running back that, you know, that is as good or is better, right? Like a guy like Najee Harris, maybe, who, you know, you'll know that he'll get the volume, and you know that he won't be had. You know that guy like A.J. Dillon won't steal touches from him. So Aaron Jones is really interesting in fantasy. He only got me like 5-ish points, and that's definitely a guy that you want to consider selling low on. And the last guy that I'm going to talk about that I think that you should sell low on is probably James Robinson. And it hurts me to say this because I have James Robinson in like 3 of my leagues. I have like 4 or 5 leagues. I have him in like 3 of my leagues. I'm really high on him, right? You know, he had a great rookie season last year. I'm just really concerned about that team in general. The Jags are going to be tough this year, just like not good. Not tough as in good, but tough as in, you know, they're going to have a tough season. And week one, it was an absolute disaster for them. Urban Meyer, I don't think he'll be around for a long time. That offense was pretty dysfunctional. I mean, it was rough to watch. Trevor Lawrence threw it, you know, 40, 50 some times in his rookie debut. The running backs didn't get as much usage, and obviously we know about how bad that defense is. So I don't like running backs on bad teams, and I really feel like James Robinson will be one of those guys this year. And honestly, that's not the main reason why I'm telling people to sell low on him. The main reason why is because Carlos Hyde I don't want to say he'll probably get more usage because James Robinson is clearly the better running back, but judging off what happened in week one, I mean, Carlos Hyde got like nine-ish so carries. And I think James Robinson only got like five, and he averaged like 5 yards per carry. So that's definitely a concern that a backup running back would be getting more carries than the starter, right? And I think a lot of that is due to the fact that Travis Etienne got hurt, and his role on the team within that running back core was to get most of the usage. It's just that that's kind of been shaken up a little bit, but Urban Meyer likes Carlos Hyde, right? That's definitely very clear. That's what all the reports are saying. That's what week one showed us. And I think it's very concerning that James Robinson's backup got, you know, more usage than him. That's really concerning. So those are the guys that I think that you should sell low on. Am I allowed to say the guys that I think you should go out and get?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to talk about the guys who you should sell high on, okay? Because that's probably more useful. So the guys that I think you should sell high on, there's not many of them, but I think one of them is definitely Tyler Lockett. And Tyler Lockett had a great week in fantasy. I played him in one of my leagues. He lit it up, right? Great game. I think you should definitely sell high on him for the main reason that he's a really inconsistent receiver, or at least, you know, throughout the years he's been. And, you know, as talented as Tyler Lockett is, he just lacks that fantasy consistency that you usually like to see. And, you know, again, he had a great week one this last week. But my only concern with him is that I really feel like, you know, DK Metcalf is just going to score most of the points. You know, they have Chris Carson, who's going to, you know, obviously carry all the work on the ground. And I just feel like you can really go out there and get a really good wide receiver two, or maybe even a low end wide receiver one, especially after Tyler Lockett's performance this week. Like you could definitely sell him high. And I definitely would not want to start Tyler Lockett in any of my leagues, knowing how inconsistent he could possibly be. Let me think here. Then the next guy who I think you should sell high on. This is tough. This is tough to say because this guy had a great week one. And I was never really high on this guy in fantasy, but he had a great week one, Jonathan Taylor. And the reason why I say that, I mean, we all know he had a great week one in fantasy, not, you know, blow you away type of week, but it's a very, very solid week. And the reason why I think you should sell high on him is kind of for the same reason that I said you should sell low on James Robinson. And that is for the fact that the Colts offense is struggling. I mean, you saw how they played in week one. I don't know how good Carson Wentz is going to be. That offense is definitely going to be a concern. And I think that, you know, obviously Jonathan Taylor is really talented. If he was the main running back in that backfield, he would definitely be a top five fantasy running back. But the main issue is that, you know, Nyheim Hines, he got a lot of usage this last week. And I think that committee, right? I mean, I think they also have Marlon Mack, right? Who's getting some usage. Is that true?
Yep.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot about him for a second. Like those three running backs, I mean, it's a committee, right? And if you can sell high on a committee running back that's going in the first round, you know, you could get a running back one that's not in the committee, right? And I think that that's better down the road consistently, right? Because you have to think about the bigger picture here. You would rather have consistency over these, you know, big weeks, and, you know, some weeks they don't do as well. So I think that he's another guy that you want to sell high on, just because of the fact that, you know, it's a committee backfield, and I'm really scared about turning a running back in that committee. So those are two guys that I think that you should definitely try to sell high on. I'm trying to think about another guy that you should potentially try to sell high on here.
I could see if you said Deebo Samuel, but I just wouldn't trade him. I feel like when you get a guy like that in like probably the seventh or eighth or maybe even ninth round, I feel like when he drops 30 something fantasy points, I would probably hold on to him. Obviously, I have him in my league. I didn't play him against you. He was on my bench. I don't think I'll be selling him. I think I'll be keeping him. I don't think he'll reproduce that same 30 point game weekly, but I would like to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, I think Deebo Samuel, right? He's a later round guy, like ninth, 10th round pick. And he wasn't a big pick for owners and fantasy this year because you got him later on. I think that you should definitely stash him on your bench and, like, you know, the whole season. But personally, going for these next couple of weeks, I think you should start him in your flex. And I think that goes for most owners, because the fact that Brandon Ayuk is looking shaky, right, whether it's the hamstring or just the usage in general, I would be starting Deebo Samuel in all of my leagues just because of the fact that, you know, he's the bona fide wide receiver one. And, you know, after last week, like, there's no reason why you shouldn't start him going forward. I mean, if Brandon Ayuk's out, I'm starting Deebo Samuel. And if Brandon Ayuk goes in, I'm benching Deebo Samuel. So I think that he's a really good flex play, and that, you know, if you're a fantasy owner, you should be ecstatic to have him on your team, especially these next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And then getting back to your sell lows, Saquon Barkley, I agree. I wouldn't have drafted him until the second round. He's just drafted too high. Brandon Ayuk, sell low. I would also consider that just because of his injury, and you're not really sure how things are going to play out, especially if Deebo, if you think Deebo is going to sustain, you know, this high level wide receiver one play. Aaron Jones to me is a tough one. I'm not going to say I disagree, but it's a tough situation because of AJ Dillon and how that Packers team is looking. You know, their offensive line got a little worse, so I could see, you know, if you get a good trade for him, yeah, I would trade him. And then James Robinson, you know, it's unfortunate, but I kind of agree. It's just, it's, you know, like you said, running back on a bad team. I don't see him producing insane numbers, especially for where he was drafted. You know, yeah, he's a good player that if he falls, you pick him up and you play him and he gets you a good points consistently. But it was just a bad situation for him on this team, you know, being on this team where they don't, it looks like they're not going to run it too much.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's hard to have a talk about some of the guys that I think that, you know, they had bad weeks, but some of the guys that I think that you should just, you know, stash and not sell at all, even though they had bad weeks.
Yeah, please.
Yeah, so I want to start it off with, you know, my favorite running back in the NFL, because I'm a Cowboys fan, Ezekiel Elliott. So he got owners in PPR leagues, 5.9 fantasy points this week, and that definitely lost people some of their leagues this week. And I know it's really discouraging when your RB1 has that type of performance. But I think that fantasy owners, even though it's a bit scary with, you know, how much they're going to pass this year and the emergence of Tony Pollard, I think that you just still definitely rely on Zeke. And the reason why is because their schedule this season, especially, you know, within the next 10 weeks, like, it's going to be really easy. And an easier schedule typically means that they're going to run the ball more, just because they're going to be ahead in more games and they're going to be able to really, you know, utilize what they're good at. And as we know, when Mike McCarthy came into that head coaching spot, the Cowboys' identity went more towards a passing style. But I think this season the Cowboys are going to try to run it way more. They're going to try to go back to that old identity. And I think Ezekiel Elliott's going to obviously get a lot of work on the grounds. And I think that he's just going to go back to his old form. And I think he's really going to reassure fantasy owners that he retains that first round value, and he's going to have some good weeks going forward. So don't panic on Ezekiel Elliott. Another guy is Austin Eckler. I think it was like 2 weeks ago, reports came out that he was a little bit banged up, and that's never good news before the season when a running back's banged up, right? And this last week, he only had 57 yards on the ground, 11 points, which isn't great for a first round pick, which is where he went in most leagues, especially in PPR. So I think a lot of people, or at least I've been hearing that a lot of people are kind of freaking out about Austin Eckler, whether it's, you know, how he was banged up going into the season and then his lower tier week one performance. I think you should still definitely keep him. Don't freak out. I think he's going to be an RB1 this year easily. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, we see how good that Chargers offense is going to be. And that defense definitely gives me, you know, some anxiety because I see that defense, and obviously you got Derwin James coming back, but still doesn't look like a great defense. And I really feel like for running backs in fantasy, and this is kind of like a universal rule, whenever the defense, I didn't mean to say for the running back, like whenever the defense is better, the offense is better. Just in fantasy, just because, you know, whenever the defense is giving up points, the offense has to respond. And that's why teams like, you know, the Cowboys are so good in fantasy, or at least their players are. So I think Austin Eckler is definitely going to be on the team where the offense is going to have to be scoring points. It's a good offense, pretty high power. I mean, Justin Herbert looks good. And I think that he's going to get a lot of work this year, especially on the receiving end, because they're going to be passing the ball a lot. later on in games. So he's another guy who I really like this year that you shouldn't panic on, even though his week one performance was poor. Moving forward with that, I'm trying to find out another guy here who kind of disappointed. Najee Harris is another one of those guys. I think, and I only have two more here. Najee Harris had only 5 points this week in fantasy, which is obviously concerning because he's another guy that is, you know, RB1, RB2, right? In that range. I think that this first week was concerning, but at the same time, this low quality week one performance shouldn't be a surprise to anybody, really. You know, this is what fantasy owners should have expected because he's a rookie running back, right? Week one's not going to go as smooth as, you know, people, like optimistic people may think, especially going up against a solid Bills defense in Buffalo, right? That's never easy. And that O-line, right? We all know that there's a lot of question marks with that O-line. So it really shouldn't be a surprise to anybody that he had a rough week one performance, especially as a rookie. But, you know, the good things that I like about Najee Harris is that he gets a lot of volume. And we know that the Steelers are typically a run-heavy team. And Najee Harris is going to get the volume, which is huge in fantasy football. And that's why I'm pretty big on getting rid of guys like Aaron Jones, right? Because I'm concerned that his volume is going to take a hit because of somebody like AJ Dillon, right? And, you know, James Robinson with Carlos Hyde emerging. So I think Najee Harris is a guy that you definitely want to keep on your team. You shouldn't get down on him because he's going to have the volume, which is the most important thing in fantasy. And moving on, the last guy here, I mean, there's so many guys I want to touch on here, but we obviously don't have, you know, an unlimited amount of time here. The last guy I want to touch on is Allen Robinson. So, you know, obvious concern, he got 9.5 points as a wide receiver two, probably. I mean, he could be a wide receiver one on your team, but typically he's a wide receiver two. Six receptions, 35 yards, no touchdowns. And that's not great, right? I mean, the thing about Allen Robinson is that he's never had good quarterback play in his life, right? I mean, or in his career, right? I mean, he just hasn't. And the thing about him is that even though he had a rough week one, you have to remember he was going up against that Rams defense, you know, Jalen Ramsey. That's never easy, right? But here's the thing about Allen Robinson. I genuinely believe that once Justin Fields steps into that QB1 role, which trust me, he will eventually, Allen Robinson is going to take off because I truly believe that Justin Fields will have a good year this year. And that is going to be the best quarterback that Allen Robinson plays with in his career. And we know that Allen Robinson is consistent through the bad quarterback play. And I think that, you know, there's no reason why he won't take a step up this year with a better quarterback. So don't freak out about Allen Robinson's roughish week one. I mean, he had Andy Dalton as his quarterback, and they definitely didn't do as well against the Rams defense, but expect big things out of Allen Robinson this year.
Yeah, those are great picks for, you know, people to players should not freak out on Zeke, Eckler, Harris, and Allen Robinson. I wouldn't trade any of those guys away. And I think your lists are all really good. I agree with, you know, I at least see your opinion on all of them. So, Jeff, I want to thank you so much for coming on this show. Fantasy football expert. Thank you so much. And, you know, your insight was appreciated. And I also appreciate your time.
Yeah. Thanks so much, man, for having me. It was awesome. And I'd always love to come back. Thanks so much, man.
Yeah, for sure. I'd love to have you back on sometime soon. Maybe soon when the NFL changes around a bit, as it always does, I'll have you back on. And, you know, we can talk about what's changed from this episode to the next.
Awesome, man. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me, dude. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot, Jeff. See you soon.
Yeah, see you, man.
All right, and that does it. I want to thank you all so much for listening to episode 52 of The Nothing Show. We're going to be resuming probably on Monday. I want to start uploading on Monday because then I can talk about Sunday's games while they're fresh in my head. And then I can also make some predictions for Monday and even Thursday night's games. So expect some more guests. I'm having a lot of fun bringing guests on, and I hope you guys are enjoying it too. So once again, thank you all so much for listening. This is Clay from The Nothing Show signing out, and I will see you all next week. Bye.